Hey everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I'm your host, Rob Oliver, and I've got a question for you. Can you name any other guest who would show up on a podcast with three black tuxedos? That's how passionate Bob Pekanovsky is about helping you create a black tie experience for your clients and guests. You may not remember his last name, but hopefully you will remember the guy with the black tie and tux. Bob Pekanovsky joins me today. Bob, thanks for being on the show.
Well, hey, Bob, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And yes, believe it or not, I know you can't see the black tuxedos, but they are here in my office. And I do have three of them. So I take them wherever I go when I speak. I'll tell you all about that here in a little bit later. But I appreciate being on the show. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your background, okay? So my understanding is you didn't start out as a speaker. You started out in the restaurant industry. Can you talk to me about that early experience for you, where you're coming from?
Sure. Yes. And you're right. I opened up my first restaurant in 1994, now over 25 years ago. And, you know, it was interesting because I had grown up in a family business. I had a couple uncles that were in the restaurant business, pizza, pasta, Italian foods, and worked throughout high school and college, learned the business, didn't really think much of it, to be honest. It was, you know, one of those jobs you do as growing up. But once I got into the real world and I got married and called one of my uncles up, I said, hey, I just can't really find a good pizza around here. And I was tinkering with the family recipe, and he'd helped me around and with it, and I added my own touches to it. And all of a sudden we started having friends over, and they're like, oh, man, Bob, you know, this is a great pizza. You should get into the business. And like, yeah, that's all right. Well, one thing led to another, and I was able to do that in 1994. Now, I shall say that I'm not a foodie. I never was one. I have a finance degree, so it was all about business. So I was looking at this strictly as a business venture. And so I opened it up, and it went so well that in our infinite wisdom or lack thereof, we decided to do a second restaurant, but build it from the ground up, which did not work. And after about a year, we actually lost that business. It had to close and some other things, that were around it. But the one thing that came out of it was I started doing this thing called catering, which I didn't really know much about, but started doing it. And when I was able to, I still had one restaurant, my first restaurant, and I was able to come back there and brought with me a gentleman who was a cook, and he and I started this catering business. And then one thing led to another, and I started back in, so I live in Akron, Ohio, and back in the mid to late 90s, we were awarded the National Inventors Hall of Fame, which is no longer in Akron, but at the time it was. And we actually answered an ad to become a preferred caterer for the Inventors Hall of Fame. And again, I didn't really know what that was about, but we got it. And one thing led to another, and I said, wow, this whole thing about unique venues is interesting. And so I started applying, reaching out to other unique venues, museums, attractions, so forth, and landed one a few years later, and in Akron, a mansion, the former home of the founders of Goodyear Tire and Rubber. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, this business took off, and we had over 50 unique venues. One of the most prominent ones, which many people may know of, is in Canton, Ohio. It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And we became one of their main caterers. And through this all, long story is because of it, I was always a big customer service fanatic. That's how I built my business. So we were working in some really high-end venues, and I needed to put together a comprehensive training program. So I got a lot of resources together. I had my own ideas, and all of a sudden, this very comprehensive training program was put into place. And before any person on my staff could walk on any floor of any venue we represent, they had to go through this 8-hour training program. And it really changed our business because now everybody was on the same page. They knew what was expected of them every single day at every event. And we started getting more and more repeat business. And we had really good food, but more importantly, we had really great service. So that just led us to more opportunities, training. And then at the end of 2014, I looked and I said, well, what would my life and business look like if I could sell my company? Because I wanted to do something else, and I was able to sell it and ventured into this world of full-time speaking and training, and haven't turned back since.
It sounds like, one of those things. For me, I am in a house of foodies. So we are all about cooking. As a matter of fact, with this whole COVID-19 experience, my kids are cooking dinner every night. And we had chicken Alfredo last night. The Alfredo sauce was homemade, the fettuccine was homemade, and the chicken was grilled on the back porch. So we're talking nice foodies. I appreciate exactly what you're doing. So what you did then was you developed a training program for your staff, and it sounds to me like that training program has developed into something now that you're sharing with other people.
Well, I am. And so that's really, so it's twofold. So I work a lot. So I work in healthcare and hospitality with clients, and the same training program that I started in 2005, I actually work with companies with to do that. But on top of it, that's really what this whole brand of the Black Tie Experience came about, because we realized that there was something to this, that how to treat your guests and your clients, how to go that extra step, how to make sure that you're taking care of all the details, that you're making it as easy as possible for your clients and guests to do business with you, that you're really anticipating the needs of your customers. That's really what this is all about, and that's exactly what we did with our staff, and it was very beneficial, because what happened because of that, and again, a lot of it had to do with not only that, but our food and how we did really created the entire experience for our clients. But what happened was that we started getting these brand ambassadors who really started telling others about us. And for a number of years, Rob, I did very little marketing. We did the typical wedding type marketing, but most of our business was built off of word of mouth because of how we took care of our clients.
And what you're talking about then, you're talking, to me, it sounds like you're talking about customer service, but what you use is the term a customer experience. So can you talk to me about what's the difference between customer service and a customer experience, or how those two go together?
Yes, thank you. See, when we first started out, and let me say that we must do customer service. Customer service is those building blocks. That's the basics. I mean, we should be greeting people with a smile. We should be making sure that our phone calls are answered promptly, and we should be doing all those things that we expect from customer service. And that's what we did. But something was missing, and I know the buzzword is experience, customer experience, but there's something missing, and I couldn't figure it out. See, because we could really get customers. And in fact, almost anybody can get a customer today. All you have to do is lower your price to non-existent, and you'll have all kinds of customers that you want. I don't know if you'll be able to retain them. And that's really what customer experience is all about, is how do you retain that? And so what I realized was that there was a missing link to go from customer service but then how do we get to that experience point so that we can retain our customers? Now, I should say that customers are also, we think of external customers, but we first got to start out with internal. So how do you retain employees, which are your internal customers? So that's what I figured out. And so that leads me to my next point. And this was something that one of my mentors and business coaches asked me when we were at that point in our business. He asked me a very simple question, but it really threw me for a loop. And he asked me, he said, well, Bob, what business are you really in? It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm in the food business. I'm in the customer service business. It's like, well, you are, but let's think about that even further. And really, the more we started thinking about it, I believe, and this is any business, not just my business or your business, any business, I believe, first and foremost, we are in the hospitality business. But now here's my definition of hospitality. It's the art of making a personal connection between you and someone else. So it's really about the people business. And once we figured out that we were in the hospitality business first, serving guests and clients, we weren't in the event business serving people. We were in the people business, creating wonderful memories and events. Our whole business mindset changed because now we could focus on what could we do using that power of hospitality to truly create that lasting experience for our guests and for our clients.
That's amazing. And what I'm thinking about is having a pizza place. You can go get a slab of pizza anywhere, but having that experience of making a personal connection. And then even in the catering business, you can get chicken cordon bleu from any number of places, and some of them are better quality, some of them are not quite as high quality, but it's that connection. And then the next piece you're talking about is that brand ambassador, where people are excited not just about your food, but about your organization, and they're willing to talk to other people about that. It's very, very interesting. So from that, you've kind of created this black tie experience. And I'm wondering, can you explain to our audience what is the black tie experience all about?
Right. Well, so it really came about because this was the uniform that our staff wore at our catering and event business. Now, you know, you can picture it. It's the black tux tie and the vest and the white tux shirt, and some of the staff had the black tuxedo jacket. And I'll be honest with you, we didn't call it that when I had the business, but it made a lot of sense because that's exactly what we were doing. Because when you think of a black tie, you know, you think of that concierge type person, this person is solely focused on you as the customer, that you are the only person at that particular point in time that truly matters, and every detail has to be taken care of. They are truly anticipating your needs. They are asking you those questions to help you solve your challenge, to make you feel something different about the experience. And that's what we strive for. We needed to make our clients and their guests feel special. Because I would tell my staff this all the time. Listen, I can't go up. So one of our claims to fame, if you say that, is at the Pro Football Fame, we were a part of 25 of the National Pro Football Hall of Fame induction parties. We catered 25 of those in a five-year period. No other catering company has done that since. Now, we couldn't go up to, and you know, I'll use, because we did two parties for the Buffalo Bills, for example, and I couldn't go up to the people at the Buffalo Bills to say, you know, I am so sorry. Boy, my staff just wasn't on tonight. I'm sorry we messed up this once-in-a-lifetime event. Can we come back next week and do it again? I promise you we'll be better. Now, you have to pay for it, but don't worry, because our staff's going to be on. No, obviously we couldn't do that. Now, so that means our staff had to realize, and we had to realize, that everything we did had to be solely focused on creating this wow experience and lasting impression. So how do we do that? Well, we do that by really anticipating, really anticipating our clients' needs, to really know so much about the event, so that's a very seamless event, so that our client doesn't have to do anything. We would take care of all the details for them. We would make sure that we were proactive with all the things we were doing with them, and making them feel that they were the most important, which they were, and at that particular point in time. And you know, we would do 15, 20, 25 events a week, but every event was special. And once our staff realized that, once we trained them, and Rob, I'll be honest with you, it took me three times to really figure out what a training program was all about. And the third time is what I call the involve me method. And what we did is we involved our staff in our entire process. We let them know exactly what everything was about. And the three tenets of our training program focused on our company culture and what our core values were and how do you bring your core values into our company and do they mesh? And I believe that they did. And then the second part of it was about leadership. I told everyone on my staff that you're a leader in my company. You don't have to have a business card or a title because a leader is a mentor and a coach. And once our staff was at that veteran time frame level, then they became mentors and coaches for my new staff. So once our new staff got done with the onboarding training program, well, they were still had plenty of work to do. And that's when our veterans really acted as leaders and we empowered them to do so and they embraced it. And then the last step was, okay, here's how we're going to deliver this customer experience. And then we put out, okay, this is our way of doing things. It's our company way. It's not Bob's way, but it's our company way of doing things. Here's our standards of excellence that we want you to embrace. And it worked. That's really what the Black Tie Experience is all about, going to that highest level of service to go above and beyond and make people feel valued and special than they ever have before.
Let me just pick up a couple things that you laid out there that I think are so important. First of all, you talked about the necessity to do your homework and make sure that you get this thing done right the first time because you don't have a chance to do, for lack of a better term, a redo on a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's the same for you and I as speakers. When you go and you speak at a conference, if you flop or if you don't hit the ball out of the park, you don't get to say to them, hey, you know what? Invite me back next year because everyone's going to want to hear me again because I'm sure I will do better. So definitely. The other piece is the empowerment of everyone that is a part of your team to say, you know, you have a leadership role here. You are in a place where what you do matters. And it's about creating a culture within the organization. It's so interestingly, you say is creating internal customers that the people that are a part of your team have bought in and realize what their role is and the importance that they have to the organization. And then the other piece that you had really talked about is creating a wow experience, a special experience for your clients. And in doing that, you are really creating what you called, I think, brand ambassadors. And so I guess my next question would be, are there particular strategies that you have for creating brand ambassadors?
You know, I do. And these were really just right out of our own business. I mean, as I look back on really, really trying to create my seminars on customer experience, I'm like, okay, so, you know, because I mean, we all know that there are many different ways to do this and a lot of different speakers, but you know, this was a tried and true method. And so, and these are, and I call them building blocks as well, because I think each of them build on each other. And so the first, and I touched on just a couple of them here already, but the first one starts with your culture. But I like to use the word foundation because that's, and think about the foundation of a building. I mean, it has to be solid. It has to be set in place first before you can build on top of it and build up. And that's the same with your business. Your culture has to be there first. Otherwise, the building crumbles. So I talk about really the first strategy is to really create this foundation of hospitality or a culture of welcome for your staff, because how your staff treat each other, maybe how they're going to treat the clients. So if the staff doesn't like each other, they're working in silos, they can't get along, well, how do you think they're going to work with the clients? So that's the first step. The second one is what I call your company way of doing things, really really creating those overall standards of excellence. So you name any company, it's, you know, so it's the Starbucks way of doing things. It's the Ritz-Carlton way of doing things. My company was called Robert J, the letter J, Robert J Events and Catering. And my staff actually deemed the phrase the Robert J way. This is the Robert J way and how we're going to treat our customers. Right. So you must create these standards of excellence, which are non-negotiable. People that come into your company say, okay, well, you know, we're going to involve you in our standards of excellence so that you understand them and you can implement them on a daily basis. Then the third building block is really what I call looking at your impact points. And an impact point is that subconscious impression that your customers have of your company before, during, or after they purchase something from you. And what I tell people is it's at that point that you have to become a customer in your business, because your customers see a lot of things about your business, both on a marketing business branded standpoint. So, you know, what's your website look like? What, you know, what your marketing materials look like? You know, what's your lobby look like? What do your restrooms look like? You know, what are they, you know, or what's the feel of it? As well as people are an impact point. You could have the most beautiful building in the entire world, but if your staff is rude, mean, and angry, it's not going to help. So we have to look at your impact points. So now you have these first three, or you've really created this strong foundation built on hospitality, that personal connection. And that leads to creating these standards of excellence. And then once you have the standards of, or once you have these standards, then you know you can really become a customer in your organization, because you're always looking at your impact points to be able to improve the overall experience. And this is when you have a customer, but now you have to move them to the fourth stage, which is to transform these customers into your brand ambassadors. And my definition of a brand ambassador is simply this: someone who can't wait to tell the story of how you make them feel. And so how do you make them feel? Because brand ambassadors are loyal customers, and loyal customers can be more demanding, but they can refer you, and they can reward you, and they rave about you. So there's a couple different things we can do that I think companies need to do to really, once you get that customer, to move them to that brand ambassador stage, to make them feel special and valued. And that's when the magic happens.
I got it. So it sounds to me like you can do all the advertising you want, and everybody has seen commercials, and you get stuff in the mail, and you're inundated with that. But when one of your friends says, hey, you got to try this restaurant, or if you're going to get married, I've got the exact company that you've got to come bring in to do your catering. Those are the recommendations. Those are the really huge points, the huge selling points of any organization. It's your customers that have had the experience and are sharing that with the people around them. So there are two more things that I'm thinking about. First of all, what you said with the concept of everybody in the organization being on board and being a part of it, and it being the Robert J. way. I've had the experience where just one person in an organization doesn't buy in, and it ruins it for everybody. I do a presentation about the fact that it only takes one, and one of the ideas in that is, how many hairs do you have to have in your dinner before you say, I'm not going to eat this. I'm not satisfied with the experience. It only takes one. And so you've got to have everybody on board.
Absolutely.
What you're ultimately building, though, is a brand. And I'm just wondering how this all ties in with building your brand, with expanding what you're doing with your brand. How does this affect your professional brand, your personal brand? How does that all play out?
I think it ties in really well, because when you can create, see, first of all, and I'll just go back. I know the old adage is that we buy benefits and features of a product or service, which I agree with, but I also believe that we buy stories. And when someone can tell you, you know what, you have to try this product, or I just went to this car dealership, you must go there because they take such great care of you. Let them know that I sent you. Well, what we've done is we've already qualified the prospect to hopefully get to this, you know, company. Well, part of that is that our brand is well set in place. So it's a very consistent brand. And today more than ever, everybody is observing us as individuals, us as companies. So how do we show up online? You know, how do we show up? Do we have that or that black tie mindset where everything we're going to do is going to go to that highest level? So how well does your personal brand show up, and does it mesh in with the brand of your or brand of your company? And that ties into leadership. I mean, like I mentioned, everybody on my team was a leader. Now they didn't have a leadership role, but they were leaders. But in that leadership role, I believe this is all about having that, or really that selfless leadership, putting others before you, so that your brand succeeds. This was never about me. This company was never about me. It was always about the people that were in it, because when people would come up to me, the guests, the clients would say, "Bob, thank you so much. This was a fantastic night." And without fail, Rob, I would say every single time, and I truly meant it. This was truly sincere. So thank you very much. I have a great team. They are the ones that deserve the credit for this, because wow, I could not do this myself. And to see the look on the faces of my team, and again, I didn't do that just because they were there. I truly believed it. But it made all the difference, and all of a sudden, they carried themselves better because they knew that they were part of something special.
That is so cool. It's the recognition of team members, because you are right. You can't do this without them. So, Bob, I want to thank you for being on the program. You have given us a lot of insight. Now, you have established the fact that you are smart. I have learned from you, but at the end of every show, we do three questions to establish your humanity, just okay, to show what kind of person you are and give a little bit of insight into your personality. So here are your three questions. First one,
okay,
what is your favorite ice cream flavor and ice cream topping?
Ooh, ice cream flavor would be like mocha, and topping would be chocolate, like chocolate syrup.
Nice. What was the first thing you wanted to be when you grew up?
A baseball player. You know, it's probably a lot of boys, but I couldn't hit a curveball, so that was the end of that.
There you go. Last question, what are you most proud of in the last year?
Oh, boy. Being able to learn from so many people. I have been fortunate to speak at a number of different conferences across the country, and to meet so many people and to learn from them about their or what they do and how they do it, and I'm always learning. So I'm really proud of the fact that I have great people that I've met that have helped me become better at what I do.
Wonderful. I understand that you are kind enough to share some offers with our listeners. Can you tell me a little bit about what you are able to provide for the listeners?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to do this. So I have two different things. One is I have an article that I've written since I've been an entrepreneur now for 25 years. I just celebrated 25 years. And, Rob, one of my favorite shows is the ESPN 30 for 30. And so I was thinking about that, and I kind of twisted it a little bit, but I have what's called my 25 for 25. And these are really lessons that I've learned based on the principle of hospitality. So I have 25 lessons that I've learned over 25 years. Now, I've learned more than that, but these are some of the main 25 or main lessons I learned. So I call my 25 for 25, and I'm happy to share that article with with your listeners. They can email me. The second thing that I do, and I do this at or really almost all my seminars, is I have what's a free 20 call. And what that is, it's a complimentary phone call that if you have questions that need answered or you have a challenge with your business, maybe on a, whether it's a customer service angle or a workplace culture, leadership, whatever it is. And it actually turns into a more of a 30-minute phone call because that's what my meeting calendar scheduler has online. But it's my free 20. I'd be happy to set that up. You would have to email me and just put in the subject line free 20. And I can schedule that for you. And there's no cost to you. And it's just a way for me to give back to say thank you for listening here today.
That is very generous of you. I really appreciate it. How can people get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, the easiest thing is my email address, which is my name, and I'll have to spell it because it's not easy, but it's simply bob@bobpakanovsky.com. That's PACANOVSKY.com. They can also reach me via phone at 330-352-6084. And lastly, they can go on to my website, which is also just my name. It is www.bobpakanovsky.com. They can see videos, some of the different keynotes that I deliver, and other things. So I'd be happy to share all those with you.
Wonderful. I will put all of those links in the show notes, and folks can visit you. I think you've been very generous. I've learned a bunch from you. I want to thank everybody for listening today. This has been Learning from Smart People. My guest was Bob Pakanovsky, and I will sign off with this reminder: when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.